And my name is Trent.
And my name is Mark.
And this is Geek Off the Street. This week on another exciting episode,
we are talking about the Netflix, the Crunchyroll, the manga series, all this stuff that came out.
Hulu. It's also on Hulu.
Oh, is it on Hulu too? Yeah. It's all over the place. Yeah. So clearly the world is trying to tell you something, and the world is trying to tell you Zom 100.
Zom 100. That's what we covered today.
Yeah.
And we get into all kinds of things like how relatable the main characters life and plight and everything is to most of us, I think, in life.
Big time. And how there are a couple of what seem like silly moments in there, but don't let that take away from the overall story and message of this show.
Exactly, yeah. Which is basically to freaking not wait till the world ends to do what you want to do with your life.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of great things in the show, and we get into really
all especially that first episode.
Yeah, especially that first episode. It's gold. Very, 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 very much so that first episode.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things to unpack, and we get into all that and so much more on the greatest podcast of all time called
Geek Off the Street. I feel like I went loud on that too.
Yeah.
This is Geek Off the Street, your go-to channel for all things from obscure geekdom to modern-day pop culture and everything else in between.
What's up, everybody?
Hello.
Hey, we're back.
Yeah, we are.
As we always are.
Always.
No surprise, because we're here every week.
Yeah, we are.
My name is Trent.
And my name is Mark.
And this is Geek Off the Street. Greatest podcast of all time. Mm-hmm. Talk about geek culture, pop culture, whatever else you want.
Deal with it.
This week's no exception because we're talking about
Zom 100.
Zom 100.
In all its different manifestations.
Yes, the sort of recently concluded anime. Because it was so delayed for a long time.
They have some hiccups.
There's 12 or 12 episodes?
12 episodes. Yeah. There's also a Netflix live-action show.
Yeah, movie.
Live-action movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all based on a manga.
Yeah.
It came out in 2018.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we're getting all that.
Yeah, we are.
But first, while we're talking about what we're drinking today, I gotta talk about something else. But real quick, we are drinking... what I was told last night was called the Aguarita, based on the Agua Caliente casino that was at last night.
Nice.
I was there seeing Kevin Smith.
Nicer.
The director, one of my heroes. It was awesome seeing him. But the drink is basically tequila, blue curacao, triple sec, some lemon juice, and
a whole lot of love.
Yeah, exactly. Or a little splash of lemon, sweet and sour.
But a whole lot of love.
Whole lot of love, though, mostly, yeah. And or I think it's also referred to as a blue margarita, maybe.
Mm.
But yeah.
This should be in a margarita glass. This is 100% margarita.
100%, yeah. 100%. It has a taste of it, yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of good flavors in it, and we're enjoying it. Yeah. So cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Very good. Yeah, watch the video on how to make it. Super simple and delicious.
Yeah, for sure. So real quick, we talked about it last week. Our good friend Wilbur McKesson, the author.
Hi, Wilbur. Buddy.
He wrote another book. This is the second book. And the book comes out in June. But this is the exciting thing. We have partnered with him to give away 5 of his books leading up until the release in June.
That is a gift.
Yes.
To you.
Right. So if you guys don't want to wait that long, 5 of you lucky listeners can win yourself a copy of this actual copy of the book signed by Wilbur himself in here somewhere.
We should keep these.
Yeah, right? Signed by Wilbur, and we'll be giving these away once a month. The way you win them will be announced next Wednesday when we start the competition. I can give you hints, a bit of a trivia thing, but it's an opinion trivia thing based on what me, Wilbur, and Mark are as far as, I don't know, preferences on certain things.
So, how well do you know us?
How well do you know us or Drew is basically the point. So we have some crossover fans. We both have our own separate audiences as well. So that's what's going to make it fun. So basically, it's based on, do you guys listen to us, and do you know us well enough?
Right. And you all get a fair shot. Everybody gets a fair shot.
Yeah, exactly. And so we'll be giving away a book a month, basically, so you guys can get a signed copy of that. And I'm just going to say, we're working on also putting a Geek Off the Street gift in there as well. If we can make it happen. We're really working hard to get it happen, but we also want to pair these with the gift from us as well. So it's not just coming out of Drew's pocket. But I'm okay with them paying for everything.
Yeah,
right. I'm okay with that. Yeah. So anyway, all the details will be in this post that we do about the giveaway starting next Wednesday. That's gonna be February 7th. So make sure you tune in and tune in every Wednesday and Friday to play be part of the game to get yourself a free copy of Wilbur's new book, Retribution.
Nice.
That's that. All right. I'm so excited for this book.
Wilbur. Yeah.
It's gonna be great. One of these actual copies is going to one of you out there. Throwing that over there. Anyway, I was saying recently that I did get to go see. I know we don't do how we're doing this week anymore, but I went to go see Kevin Smith yesterday. If you guys don't know, he is the director of all the Jane, Silent Bob films, the Clerks films, a bunch of other movies like Chasing Amy, and there's in the Viewers universe, basically, is what he calls it. He plays Silent Bob in all the movies he does, but he's the director. So he came and did a Q&A, basically, is what it was. I didn't know what it was. Yeah. But yeah, he just answered questions about his life, about filmmaking, about everything that, you know, about he had that really crazy heart attack that called the Widowmaker that he should have died from. it was really inspiring, everything he said, basically. That's cool. And essentially at the end of it, he was just like, if you have a dream, go start it now, this year. Go start it this year. And it was awesome, man. It was so cool. And he's funny. He's a cool guy. You know, he's a geek. Talked about comic book stuff too.
Yeah.
You know how he is. But yeah, it was awesome, man. It was really, really cool to see. So I'm super inspired. So
no, that's very cool. That's really cool.
A lot of projects we want to work on. So
and he was just taking just the microphone was going around the crowd, or
It was like the you know, it's like they have like they put two mics in two different aisles. Yeah. And you can walk up and ask questions.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance because I was on one of the tops. I was on the nosebleeds, so I couldn't get down there. But I would have asked him some filmmaking questions.
Like, or, hey, ask him this.
All right. Or maybe giving him the rapid fire questionnaire from.
No, that would have been cool.
You know, we'd have someone filming for him. But it's all right. I got to see him, and he talked about a lot of great, great stuff, man. So,
nice.
Yeah, super inspired, and so we're gonna do. We're gonna follow that lead. And, do some more
projects. That ties in great to this episode too.
Yeah,
that's
it. Really,
cool.
Really does.
Very
cool. Exactly. That was my point.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
I meant to say that.
He knows where he's
I meant
going.
To tie it all up because we're talking about this show called Zom 100, and it's essentially about the main character named Akita. Mm. He is he works for a job that he thought he was gonna love. It turned out to be like a what they call an exploitative job.
Yeah.
Japan has a lot of those places where they just work you to death, which is
right.
Japan is amazing, man, but there are a lot of issues also, like the work culture, bullying, mental health is not something that they focus on at all.
Yeah.
A lot of those things aren't focused on. And he's about him dealing with this, and then one day he's so miserable, doesn't want to go to work, and then he wakes up and the zombie apocalypse has happened.
Yeah.
And the first thing he says is, I don't have to go to work today. It's about and he creates his bucket list about all the things 100 things he wants to do before he becomes a zombie.
Right.
And
he knows the odds are against him.
Yeah,
so
yeah. But he just wants to
live life to the fullest.
Exactly, yeah. There's a lot about the show that I really enjoyed that I want to get into. But that's basically the premise of Zom 100. And I,
And the funny thing is, too, like, I know we've said on the show, like, a long time ago, we brought this up. Like, well, I know I said it to you.
Yeah, 100%.
And RJ, I'm just trying to remember if I ever said it on the show. I don't know. Maybe one of the early episodes. I don't know.
I was going to say for sure, but actually now I'm thinking about it. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
But we had talked about, like, the popularity at one point of, like, a dystopian type movies and shows and books and comics and, like, the zombie type apocalypse or any type of end of the world scenario.
Yeah.
And why people are so obsessed with it.
Right,
and
right.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. I mean, and the author of this, you know, kind of thought the same thing clearly too, but
you hear our episode and
I know, right? Yeah. Right. Man, this keeps happening. Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson stole our stuff.
I know, right?
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Come on. You can't be geek off the street. Mm. But the point is we had made the argument or kind of brought up that the reason why people are so, you know, kind of like low-key obsessed with the zombie apocalypse and, you know, they kind of want it to happen, but, you know, not really. But if it did, it'd be great because kind of thing is for that reason. You don't have to go to work the next day.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of a, you know, like kind of a, you know, contrite little funny way of saying essentially that you don't have to play by the rules
right.
that society has placed on you anymore. Mm-hmm. And those big rules are, you know, and it's not even so much rules of society. It's just like how you live. It's the whole having to get up, having to go to work, having to do, you know, all the stuff that you don't want to do that really makes you miserable.
Yeah.
That I'm sure everyone has thought about at some point in time, especially if you're an adult. This is not how life is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like humanity was not, you know, did not rise up here on Earth to go to a place, punch a clock.
Yeah.
And, you know, shuffle papers around. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's not the point of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so when you have a chance to throw all that away, it's, you know, it's an exciting thing. It's something that motivates you. You know what I mean? So it's interesting that, like I said, we brought it up before, and it's probably not, you know, other people probably,
they might
have realized.
Yeah,
that
we're not the first ones, but it makes sense. And this is like very, very, like it confirms that people have that same thought that, you know, it's not obviously you lose things like internet, running water, the nice things about life,
right?
The comforts, you lose all that, but you're also uninhibited. Like you are completely free to live the way you want to live, you know, despite the situation you're in, which is, you know, which could be good and bad. You know, we can get the best of humanity and also the worst of humanity when there's no rules. You
right.
know what I mean? Yeah.
And this is one of those shows where it brings it's not even so much. I missed it again. Sorry, guys. Not so much about the worst. This show really isn't about that. At least so far, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll get into the end. The last.
I mean, like, I mean, at some points, you kind of see some other stuff, but just in comparing it to something like, let's say, Walking Dead, where it was just the worst in humanity came out, or that's what they experienced.
Yeah.
You know, which is fine. That's the story you're telling. That's fine. Mm-hmm. This story, they are not telling that, at least not as dark as The Walking Dead by any stretch.
What I mean? Yeah. It's very lighthearted. It's very fun. It's
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And it does make it look fun.
Right. Yeah. If it went down. Yeah. I mean, but they clearly had, I mean, there's always the fun part when a zombie apocalypse starts.
It's
like getting the food. Well, one is that you're not going to be having to deal with that many zombies that are going to, you know, they're going to surround you and all this other kind of nonsense. They didn't deal with this in this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So they were out there, but they could ride a bike or a motorcycle and get right past them. They could go right to the convenience store, grab the food that they wanted, the beer they wanted, and go back home. They still had the internet. They still had, you know, running water and electricity for a while. So that's the fun.
Yeah, that's,
you
know, the beginning,
it's the dream of what you would want the apocalypse to be. You still want to have all your, you know, all those essentials, you know, at the, you know, touch of a, you know, dial or flip of a switch.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, I mean, that's, you know, that's going to fall apart pretty quick. But
Most definitely. And I'll continue to say that the Japanese convenience stores are the best, man. Mm. The food in there is like top quality food. It's like a 7-Eleven had great food, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah, just to give some context, right? Like, I've had sushi at the Japanese 7-Eleven that's better than some of the restaurants I've had here in America. You know, that's how good it is. Mm. So those first couple days are probably great. You could eat whatever you want, good quality food for a while.
For a while you're going to be good.
That stuff's all perishable, though, so eventually. And then they do get into some parts where there's, like, the zombies are starting to get more, like, multiplying more and more as more people turn. And it starts getting harder to kind of get around, you know? That was cool. Like, I guess one of the positives is that they pepper those things in, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's that, like, so many things I want to say about it. But, like, when I watched the first episode, everybody knows, if you guys have watched one episode of our show, you know how unhappy I am with my job and what I do for a living. And I was honestly the first episode that I watched where it shows him getting that job and then immediately becoming a zombie. Like, he's becoming a zombie at his job. I started feeling depressed. I was like, man, that's exactly how I feel every single day. Mm-hmm. Like, just punching in, being miserable, doing this fucking bullshit job that I don't care about, and then clocking out, going home, and doing it again, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like starting to get kind of like, I was like, this feels like myself. I am starting to feel not good right now.
Yeah.
And then when he finally, and then when it happens and he's excited and he gets to like the first thing I want to do is just enjoy a cold beer, mm-hmm. not have to go to work, enjoy a cold beer.
Yeah, during the
and
day,
that
yeah.
moment when he drinks his first beer is just like, I was like, oh yeah, I get it, man. I identify so much with that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But my point, I guess, like I was getting at is like one of the positives that they made it really fun,
mm-hmm.
really funny, a lot of really exciting moments. But like, they have that like the transit, like the moments that aren't great also peppered in. Like
yeah.
When he's climbing down the thing, he's like, I'm gonna go on a beer run, you know?
Yeah.
And he meets that couple,
right?
And they're like, oh, can I get you anything? And they're like, oh yeah, bring us some toilet paper and you know some whatever ramen or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'll be right back. And he takes off. And then he's like having, he has the whole yeah, beer run, has a good time, yeah. has a good time. He meets the girl.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and he's climbing up the thing and, you know, they obviously had gotten attacked.
Yeah. Their apartment has clearly been
broken into, destroyed.
And it's disheveled. And
yeah. There's blood everywhere. Yeah. And then obviously they didn't make it.
Right,
so it was like a great, like fun moment. And then the dynamic, the change, the shift and like, oh, well,
the reality of it,
reality, there's some not great moments in that. And, yeah. they did those shifts really well,
mm-hmm.
like putting in the serious moments among the, you know, the kind of fun, exciting moments. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The funny thing is, in the live action movie, that couple survived.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He bumps into them later in the live action movie. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Man, I started watching. I got about 15 minutes into it. I just didn't have time to finish the live action.
Yeah.
I wanted to be able to watch them both and compare them.
It was good. The live action one. Yeah. Same thing. He's going down the drain pipe and they're like, huh? And he says he's going to go bring them back some stuff. And the woman is pregnant in that as well.
Oh, okay.
So just to make it that much more tricky.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does come across them later on.
Oh, okay.
When he comes across his boss again, which is which is an interesting thing. But again, one thing that I like about it too is, especially in that first episode. The first episode sets up everything so perfectly. It really tells you. It puts you in this guy's shoes immediately, that he's this wide-eyed, optimistic, you know, got the job that he wanted kind of thing. And he gets there and everything's great. Everyone's friendly. They're like, hey, and they're like, hey, you know, welcome aboard. And like, you know, they're all kind of joking around.
Yeah.
It seems like such a fun, light environment, and then they all go out for drinks later.
Yeah,
and they're all having a good time. Mm-hmm. They're all like, "Oh yeah, you know, have this." And he's looking over at the girl that he likes.
Yeah,
and just saw her, like just met her like that same day, but he's already infatuated with her.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of make eye contact, and she kind of waves at him a little bit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And everything's great. And they're like, "Okay, it's time to it's time to wrap things up." And he's like, ready to go home. He's like, "No, we're not going home. We're going back to work.
Back to the office." Yeah,
right. Which is clearly. You know, again, like you said, like the whole work culture. And
yeah,
I've seen it enough in watching Japanese media, but I'm like, oh, that can't be true. But I don't know. I wonder how extreme it is out there.
I think it is to an extent. Some of those places really like it's even to the point where it's like it's you get your vacation time.
Yeah.
But it's frowned upon because. They want you to feel like you're causing a burden to the rest of the staff because you're gone, not holding up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always, man, it was a dream of mine for a long time ago to teach English in Japan, like live in Japan for a year. And I had some friends that went that overall loved it, but you were expected to work like extra or overtime without, overtime pay.
Because
you're contracted as a teacher, you get X amount of money.
Yeah.
And so they expect you to do more work. Stay longer, do extra things that aren't in your, job description, and not expect to get paid, compensated for it, and that's kind of, it's good to have that, to have a culture where it's like, everyone's here to work.
That's always the thing about Japan. It's a huge, let's get the job done.
Kind of thing. And there's a lot of
watch that movie Gung Ho that came out in the 80s. We'll let that go.
but you see like a sense of honor, in doing well. That's why there's there's no like the schools, there's no janitors. The kids clean the whole school. They stay after and they clean the whole entire school, It's like that kind of thing. That wouldn't happen here. No way.
Not by what I mean?
But by the same token, it's like, it can be exploited, push a little bit further.
So you're saying they don't have unions out there?
Maybe not. Yeah,
we're getting controversial. Yeah. I'm gonna leave it alone. Yeah. I'm not saying nothing about nothing.
Right. Yeah.
Show just got political.
Yeah. We try to stay away from it too.
Yeah.
But
right.
Here we are. Yeah.
Back in the muck.
But yeah, no, that was that moment when when it shifts and they all stand up from the tables and they put their badges back on. They all come down. And they're all just back.
Their lanyards. Yeah, come back back to it.
Yeah.
The point I was ultimately trying to make, I was just sort of kind of rambling on, was like I said, that first episode did a really good job of setting all that up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's so conditioned because he ends up being there for 3 years when we see him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a relatively small segment, you know, it's a few minutes within the episode. But they show how everybody is just being abused, essentially.
Yeah.
And they're all like they laugh it off, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh man, you've been working for this and doing that, huh? Come back when you've got an ulcer. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that
kind
of thing. Oh, you're pissing blood. That doesn't mean anything. I got, you know, this and that going on. And they're like, they're sleeping under their desk. They got all this kind of craziness going on. And it's cool because it's not cool, but they show like he's been there for 3 years and he's so conditioned that when the apocalypse breaks out, like in the morning, he's on his way to work, like as he's running away from these things, he's saying, and they kind of do it as a joke, but it's kind of real. He's thinking like, or he yells, I'm going to be late for work. Now, to anybody, it sounds dumb or it sounds like a joke or whatever. Yeah. But I would make the argument that he was really thinking that. He wasn't thinking like, ha, 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 I'm going to be late for work. He was really thinking, I've got to be to work.
Yeah.
And I say that because I know there have been times when I've been going to work, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, I got to be there like another 5 minutes kind of thing. So I need to hurry up and go. And I'm thinking like if I see somebody like do something crazy on the road, and I'm like, oh, man, you guys almost caused an accident.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, like, what would I have done if I saw that accident happen? Would I do, quote unquote, do the right thing and stop, help, witness, blah, blah, blah? Or would I say to myself, and I guarantee you, anybody watching this that is an adult has probably thought, if I saw it and I'm on my way to work and I got to be there in a few minutes, I got to get to work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just the kind of crazy conditioning.
Yeah.
That we have that they struck on in this show. And that's in that first episode. It's just that conditioning. And that conditioning comes up later in the series.
Yeah.
But I love that they did that. That, you know, the author gets it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if something like that were to happen, like I do that all the time. I always kind of think like if something were to go down right now, would I stop or is my main concern going to be getting to work on time?
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. The show does a fantastic job, you know, of doing that. It's very good.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, it makes it feel real. You know, among this fantastical situation, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, yeah. No, I mean overall, I did, man. I know I've been talking about anime. We've been talking about anime a lot recently.
Yeah.
I've been struggling to really completely get into it.
Mm.
This show, and we'll, you know, I'll get to or just tail end of the series. But for the most part, this show made me really interested in anime. Like this really got me into it because I mean I'm already
CJ, you listening?
Yeah, there's already one point where I was really into the zombie genre. Like the first short film I tried to make was a zombie movie.
Yeah.
And most zombie movies aren't great, you know, but they're a lot of times they're fun.
They are what they are. Yeah, exactly. They're supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
You
know? And so that might be a part of it. But this show was pretty different. And then I think on top of that, the message really hit me because really it's not about a zombie apocalypse. It's not about, you know, it's about being with people you care about. And also don't wait for the zombie apocalypse to do what you're meant to do in life.
Yeah.
That's the point of it so far for me.
Yeah.
That's what I took away from it. And,
right.
I think, and that's so important to remember that, you know what I mean? So that's what I saw. And that's why I really enjoyed the show. But, that's why the point of the show was that, and I took a lot away from that, and it really resonated with me a lot because of where I'm in my life right now and what I want to do. Yeah, I kind of wish I was Akira, you know, at this point. There were the show also made me laugh a lot, man.
Right on.
There were a lot of funny parts in the show, like
yeah, it's definitely a comedy.
Yeah, just for him, like man, being so excited to get to go on a beer run. And then you just see him running into the, and I was like, running into the convenience store. And then, I laughed really loud when they were doing the RV episode, trying to find an RV.
Mm.
And there's that one part where she was like, we're getting this one.
Right. This is the most practical.
Practical one. Yeah. Yeah. And then like, there's that part where he's, where him and Kensho, they're like echoing each other. And he's like,
Kensho's backing up whenever he said like a little parrot.
Yeah. And he was just like, that one doesn't even look like an RV. And he's like, yeah, it doesn't look like an RV. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, man. And it's just like, and I can see like her like having to deal with this nonsense, really like this is making me angry,
right?
With this, how ridiculous this is.
Yeah.
But man, I laughed a lot in this show, man. It made me laugh a lot, and
that's cool.
It cracked me up. So that was another part. Was the comedy was great to me,
right?
And while you know, cut in with the serious moments that were you know the honest reality of the crisis, yeah. As well as when he sees his boss again, like reverting back to that, you know that
that conditioning just kicks right in. Yeah,
yeah. There are those moments that were like very real and very raw, and I was like, oh, this is. Yeah, this sucks, you know? But yeah, it was a very good balance. The show was very well balanced, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like to see, and they didn't do it. They did it sometimes, not a whole lot, but I really enjoy comedies that do get serious. They slip in like that real message kind of thing, because you don't see it coming. You know what I mean? Your defenses are down.
When
it does come into play, and it hits you in your core that much harder, you know, you just feel it that much more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like MASH was a great show that did that. It was a comedy, but it dealt with war, and they had there was no way for them to really do a comedy series about war and not, you know, bring in the life and death elements in it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a great series that kind of did the same thing. It was a comedy, but when they brought in those serious moments, like it was a punch right in the gut kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The one thing that I thought was interesting too, like when you're watching this series, there are so many like random, like sporadic colors
thrown
all over the place, right?
Yeah.
So on one level, it kind of looks like old video games where they wouldn't show blood, so they would kind of change the color up a little bit. And that's what it kind of seemed like, because you would see these zombies and they have these different colors on them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, they're trying not to make it too graphic.
Right.
That was my initial impression. Stand by, everybody.
Yeah, we are in a studio.
We're okay. Yeah, yeah.
In a very metropolitan area. So.
Right.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah, we're good, though.
We're okay. Good. That's the important thing.
Yeah. My thing is, like, choose a direction. Like,
yeah.
How, like, where are you going? I feel like that ambulance is going in a circle right outside our studio.
Just around here. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it probably doesn't help. I'm looking windows open too.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, it was hot. It was hot, man. I don't want to.
Yeah, I know it was.
It's the worst thing to be like. It was like 78 degrees in Southern California today.
Yeah, but listen, when it's 78 degrees and you're doing stuff,
it's still uncomfortable, man.
It's impactful.
Yeah, again, I drive a truck, man. Our ACs don't work well.
Right,
and it was hot, man. It was hot in the winter while I was working.
And I'm lazy, so you gotta take all this into account, guys.
Yeah, just because we have perfect weather all the time doesn't mean it's always perfect here.
Right?
Yeah.
So you think about that before you judge us.
Yeah. So no,
we
anyway.
Should be judged. We should
absolutely. Yeah, it's way too nice here.
Yeah. I completely lost track.
The colors, yeah.
Yes, thank you. The colors. That was... I was about to go. You really set that up like the song Colors. Iced tea before you time. Don't worry, but that's okay. That's okay. There's a few of you that might get it. Not a lot, but there's okay. Moving on. So, yeah, the colors, right?
Yeah.
There are all these crazy colors all over the place. And at first, I thought it was just they didn't want to make it look too gory.
Yeah.
So they did it that way. But then I thought they actually, it's really, it's more of Akira's outlook on the world.
Because
the world is bright, it's colorful, it's happy and fantastic. Mm. Even though there's a terrible situation going on, he's free now. So when you see all these crazy, weird colors in it, that's what's really going on. It's Akira's, it's his impression of everything. It's like, yeah, it's bad, but it's not that bad. Not for him anyway. It's not that bad.
That's true. I didn't even think about that, but because really, like, because the darkest and like hardest parts of the show are before it happens, really.
There's a lot of like gray and a lot of drab colors see in it, you know, it's all in there. And then once the stuff hits the fan, all that goes down.
It's bright, yeah.
Yeah. There was one really funny thing in the live action one where, you know, he's got his bucket list, and I think one of them might have been he wanted to paint a, like, he wanted to do a self portrait of himself kind of thing. Did you see that part?
No,
in the
I didn't
movie?
Get that far now.
Yeah. So he does a portrait of himself, and it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's like it's him. It's the actor. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But he does it like on the side of like a skyscraper. So it's the stupidest thing in the world. He's like, paint a self portrait, and he does it on a building.
Yeah.
Where it, like, if you had like office windows, it probably took up like 50 office windows.
Oh, wow.
He just climbed up on a skyscraper. And like, I'm just gonna go ahead and paint my picture on it.
Yeah.
It may be like a skyscraper. It might have been like maybe like a 50-story building, something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was hilarious. And it like I said, it looked absolutely perfect. Right? You know, it's got like some pastels in it. And he's like, he kind of checks it off. He draws a line through it. Okay, I did that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and all this happens and like with like, so you did that like in a day?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that would take like weeks to do. But it was a funny moment.
That's pretty funny.
I'm trying to think what else. I mean, there was a lot that was really good about this show, and I think a lot of it, the best of it in my opinion, happened in that very first episode.
Yeah.
I think that's what really, you know, got to me.
Yeah,
and the funny thing is, man, like you were saying, like how, you know, you're with your job, and a lot of people, I think, you know, resonate.
Mm. Yeah, with yeah, connects people for
concept.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say, getting towards the end of the series, like I was saying about how these kind of situations probably can bring out the best and the worst of humanity. I think,
yeah.
And I think, like for Akira.
Mm-hmm.
He becomes his best self, I think, during this crisis. But then the other guy, I'm blanking on his name, but the kid that was bullied, I guess he's bullied or not bullied, but he was kind of a shut-in.
Yeah.
He also thrived, but in a bad way.
Right. That was very, like literally he was the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. And it caused a lot of havoc and really
and he had his own bucket list.
Yeah. But it was like completely the opposite, to harm people and to cause as much damage as he could. And his one thing was like to see everybody I hate turn into a zombie. Like, that's pretty shitty, you know?
Yeah.
And so to have two people not held down by rules, one of them to just live it to the fullest and the other one to live it to the fullest, but like in a bad way.
Right.
It really showed that to me. And then you have why am I picking on the characters' names? The girl that was like 100 things to do to not get bit, you know, the very like tightening it up and being safe, and like being really like organized and controlled, and even to the point where she wouldn't take the mochi, the dessert,
right? Yeah,
like sugar, no sugar is not, right? So there's like really there's a lot of different the way people respond to crisis and situations like that was different for all of them, and I think these kind of like post apocalypse type dystopian type thing, zombie apocalypse. Movies kind of show that in humanity, I think.
Mm.
And that those are the most interesting parts about these types of movies when they're done well.
Yeah.
Is getting into that, the human response, not so much the freaking zombies. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was one of the big things towards the end that I was kind of cool with. But
right, yeah. And that whole dynamic of there was this other guy that had his own, like, I think he literally had a bucket list of like terrible things he you know, he essentially wanted to do with his friends.
Yeah.
You know, and his friends had terrible things that they added to the list as well. You know, they were all, you know, bad people. You know, they had the, and they kind of went into their backstories a little bit. Like, I loved seeing the one with the guy that didn't like his wife.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That was interesting. Like, he, you know, he's trying to do the right thing, and his wife always kind of nagged on him.
Yeah, you know, this
kind of
stuff.
And then Kinjo kind of brought up, I don't know if I said his name right, but he brought up the point. That was Akita's friend.
Yeah.
Brought up the point, like, did you even do anything to kind of meet her halfway?
Yeah,
did you try to do anything with
her? Did you make her the queen of your life? You
know, right. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, man, you might be miserable, but there's, you know, you might be to blame for some of it. Even with the girl that had the chainsaw, you know, she was going off and getting ready. You know, she had, they all these bad people had interesting backstories.
Yeah.
You know? And I think everybody on some level probably could relate to them because they were normal people.
Yeah.
Before that, they weren't. They weren't psychotic. They weren't sociopaths. They weren't murderers before, and now they are, kind of thing. They were just people that were just like the people you work next to, or just like you. But they, you know, for whatever reason, they wanted to act on their worst impulses, and they wanted to victimize people who weren't to blame for what happened to them, but the people they wanted to victimize weren't there, so they're like, well, here's somebody I can victimize, so I'm going to do it to them.
True, yeah.
Kind of thing, and that's,
And you do see that, and you feel a little bit of compassion for it, but at the same time, you have Akito, who was also abused in his life.
Right.
And he used that as a way to
do something
be better.
Better, do something more inspiring. Right. And that was very interesting.
Yeah.
That's what made it so cool. Like, would you literally come across, you know, in the zombie apocalypse, you're going to go to your hometown and you're going to find the guy you went to college with that nobody liked and nobody talked to, and he's got his own band of people.
Yeah.
And you and your band have a list of what you want to do, and they have a list of all the bad things they want to do. Is that going to happen? Probably not.
Yeah.
Is it good storytelling?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. At the very least. Yeah. It's entertaining at the very least. And it does create a great conflict.
Right. You know right. I mean? Yeah. And you don't, like I said, you don't look at that literally. Like I said, you're not going to look at that like, oh, the guy from his college, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
like
come
I
on.
Said, you, yeah, that's not going to happen. Yeah. That's not realistic. But as far as telling the story about a person, or not even, I take that back, it's not about a person, it's about people and the choice you have.
Yeah.
When whatever the situation is, you have the choice to do right or wrong, good, bad, you know, easy, or do the hard and right thing.
You don't really have a choice of the outside situation, but you have a choice on how to respond to it.
How to respond to it.
So, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
And obviously, they responded differently.
Right.
Yeah. Last thing I wanted to say was that I liked the characters a lot.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the characters. Akira, obviously, I relate to a lot.
Yeah.
Kensho cracked me up, man. And then
his nudity.
Yeah, he's always naked. Just, I want to be a stand-up comedian. I'm like, yeah, get it, man. Go for it. And even to learn that his life wasn't as great as he made it out to be. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Which was nice.
Yeah.
That
and
was
then,
cool.
And then to see
Kenichiro.
Kenichiro, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the, man, I don't know why I'm looking at the girl's name.
Shizuka.
Shizuka, yeah. All right. So she.
Shizuka.
She was so serious.
Yeah.
And then you kind of see her start to meet a little bit closer in the middle, like kind of starting to lighten up a little bit and kind of trying to enjoy things. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I'll throw in really quick, like her, that the melt that she has where she goes from being this extremely serious, methodical person to being this person that they can get along with and have fun with and relax with.
Yeah.
The cool thing about that is that they just didn't give it to you. Like really had to earn her, her trust and her friendship.
Right.
She meets him for the first time and he's, you know, singing the Biru song. You know, at the store and everything. And he's like, hey, we should probably, you know, work together, and she's like, No,
yeah, I've already calculated you're a risk.
You're a risk, so there's no need for us. And so they literally have like two or three meetings, and he literally has to save her from a shark in order for her to be like, all right, here's my contact information.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Like, you've earned that.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that's the whole shark thing that goes into kind of the silliness of the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's completely silly. It's completely ridiculous, but it's funny.
Yeah.
To think that a shark on land is going to be a threat to you and the way they do it. It's completely not to be really taken seriously, it's just a bit of fun.
Mm.
You know, some sugar to help the medicine go down.
Right. There you go.
Is Mary Poppins once said.
Yeah. But even by then, they run into her by chance going to get the RV.
Yeah.
Like that. And she wasn't ever going to travel with anybody or be with anybody.
And they just bump into each other.
And then they have to, or they decide, you know.
Yeah.
She decides to go with them and then they have to.
And they convince her because, like, it's too risky. Like, you don't know how to drive.
Yeah, you don't know how to drive.
That's a risk.
So, that's more of a risk
than her at her core. She's like, oh my God, that is a risk.
Yeah.
So. Maybe I do need to rethink this.
So I thought the characters a lot. We didn't get to know the German girl much.
Right. Yeah.
She was like your typical anime character. She was fun, but we didn't get to learn much about her. But I did like that they showed each of their past, a lot of their past, Akita's and Kensho's, and then Shizuka's, like, her past also was kind of sad. She had very distant father that didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was only.
Yeah. A lot
business.
Of them
were
in this. Yeah. They're in a very similar situation where they were being controlled by their circumstances or by what was going on around them. Akira didn't like his job and he felt like he couldn't get out of it. He felt like he was stuck in it to the point where he was like just mentally broken.
Mm-hmm.
Even Kenichiro, like, he was doing his job and he on the surface had a great job.
Yeah.
But he wasn't happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't bring him fulfillment. And then even, you know, with whatever her name was.
Yeah, Shizuka. Yeah.
Shizuka. Yeah. Like, she, like, her whole life, like, from childhood, was she was being groomed to be, I don't know,
like
just
CEO
the best
or
yeah or
whatever.
Yeah, 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 to kind of take over her father's company, and that everybody else was beneath her and not to associate with anything that was gonna, you know, that was lower than her, which was like everything by this guy's standard.
Right.
So she was locked into this thing like from day one for her. So all three of these characters, you know, we don't know anything about Beatrix yet. Maybe she might have been the same. Maybe not, though, because she was living her dream in Japan, it seemed like. But these three main characters, they were all trapped by their circumstances or not even trapped. They couldn't see their way out of it is a better way to put it, because they could have walked away from any time.
Yeah.
If they wanted to, which is great, because once we see Akira meet up with his boss later, like it was great storytelling again, because he goes right into this employee mindset.
You know what I mean?
And he's been free and he's been doing what he's wanted for X amount of days, 7, 10 days, whatever the case may be. But once he comes across his boss again, it's like the programming kicked back in again.
He
became the Winter Soldier and he was like, oh, I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. And he couldn't see his way out of it. He justified, you know, all the dumb crap his abusive boss had him doing, you know, and the boss was still abusive. He was
manipulative, all that.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was, and that was cool. And then when he does finally kind of realize that I don't have to do this anymore, and he really does break free, and he's like, and he's not mad. He's not angry. He's like, sorry, I can't do this anymore. It's been great. I appreciate all your help. Sorry. And he's like, I can't get my hair. Sorry, I can't. Sorry. He's just like, nah,
pretty
I don't
graceful,
care.
I'm done. Yeah.
Which, it was cool to see him have that moment where he could tell his boss off. And it was about telling his boss off, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's just about him, you know, kind of, you know, deprogramming himself.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's interesting, man. It's like I said, the way that they have leaned into the telling the story of the zombie apocalypse, it is, again, it is like you're saying, it's about the people.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you can have a job that is a good job,
mm-hmm.
and but you want something more, something different.
Yeah.
You know, you can have a job where you are abused or whatever and you want something different. You can have, you can, like, from day one, you could have been a very successful, you know, and at the top of your industry kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
but you still want what, you still need to do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And you don't feel whole until you do it.
You do it, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's pretty much, again, you know, what this show, it's what it's about, what
exactly.
they do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think yeah, it connects for sure. They do a very good job of doing that, I think. Anyone process where we get into negatives or?
Yeah. No, go for it. I can't think. Yeah. Yeah. What negatives do you have?
I don't really have too many negatives, but, you know, like you're talking about the shark thing. Like, there were moments where it felt like an anime. Like, it started to begin to
feel like an
anime. Mm-hmm. And that was, I don't want to, like, really blame it, quote unquote, on this, but it kind of seemed like the initial concept is this. We got it out of the way. And now it's just kind of antics about whatever his bucket list is. We can just use this as not necessarily a filler, but like just kind of be wacky.
I was just about to say it was kind of a filler.
Yeah,
he had all this somewhat realistic stuff, somewhat going on, and then all of a sudden this shark on land.
Yeah, yeah, right,
thing
exactly.
Was going
yeah,
on. Yeah. No, it was 100% very. It turned into like an anime.
Right. Yeah.
The fact that he had punched it and the lightning
the batteries,
bolts and,
yeah, got it and whatever. Yeah, and he was like,
I don't, I don't think D batteries work that way.
I don't think so at all.
You know,
yeah,
but yeah,
it's an anime. Yeah, and I accepted it for that. But there are moments where it felt really like an anime, and it was definitely like fantastical outside of the zombie apocalypse, real human people, and then now we're getting a little silly, and anime esque, and that. I kind of got a little taken out of it because I was really like, man, this feels so good and real. And I'm connecting to it. And then it got really goofy, like really anime-ish for a little while. Mm. Some of those in-between episodes were kind of like, I started getting kind of bored towards the end.
Yeah.
And those last couple episodes were pretty good, I think, in a lot of ways. But I did start to feel a little bored, episode 7, 8, 9, those kind of areas,
Yeah.
Outside of the stuff that was like, the meat, stuff about Akira and dealing with his life and those kind of stuff. Those kind of things were really interesting. The in-between kind of felt like filler to me. And then on top of that, it was like really silly anime type stuff.
Yeah.
Those are the big ones. Nothing that made me hate the show at all.
Right.
But there were kind of moments where I was like, okay, I'm a little bored of this now. Like, let's move forward a little bit.
Yeah. I think I kind of gave it a pass, I think, just because I felt like I kind of realized what it was, or I took it for, again, it was an anime. So maybe I wasn't able to go 100% into it. I was, you know what I mean? I was still like, okay, there might be something anime-esque coming into play later. And sure enough, it does. I mean, the whole concept of, I'm trying not to say it, so I don't want to spoil it necessarily if you watch it. But yeah, the whole fact that this shark is, going after people, on land and how it's happening. And
yeah, it's like three zombies are inside the shark.
And the legs coming out. It's funny. It looks ridiculous. Because you're thinking like, I'm on land. I don't have to worry about a shark. But then the shark's coming after you.
In
its own way.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was definitely, it was silly. But I think I kind of gave it a pass just because there was so much more. There was a lot of good. There was more good than I think there was bad. And I liked it when he ended up going back home. And again, like, he comes across this character that he went to college with. And like I said, he lives in a very – his hometown was, the established is a very secluded, very out-of-the-way hidden village.
Yeah.
Right? And the fact that this – Like the worst person, or most mentally disturbed person from his college ends up there with the gang that's doing the exact same thing he's doing.
Yeah.
It's not realistic, but I do like him coming to some sort of this catharsis.
Yeah. Catharsis.
Thing with his parents, with his mom and dad kind of thing. So, and that's one of those things I think every, at some point in time, typically every child wants to have some kind of, they want to pay back their parents, or they want their parents to be proud of them kind of thing. So I think that's 100% natural. It was cool that they brought that up, you know, and that he does get that, you know, which is fine, which is fine. You don't always get that. And you have to, you know, you have to live with that kind of thing. But it was cool that, you know, they brought it up.
Yeah,
and that he was able to, you know, have that in his own right before he goes off on to his next adventure kind of thing. You know, they kind of, towards the end of it, they kind of play it up for, you know, laughs. Like, you know, you think something serious is going on with him.
Yeah, he's got hemorrhoids.
Like, yeah, that's all.
Yeah, yeah.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
I mean, hemorrhoids isn't great.
Great, okay, yeah, that's not a, that's not a good thing.
Let me tell you, but, but no, that was like, that was almost too, for me, like, it was almost too much of a subverting expectations moment.
Big time.
Like,
oh, big time.
We're just kidding. He's not really sick.
He just got this. It's like, what?
Yeah.
So, womp, womp. Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, I didn't really have any other negatives. Like, really negatives. Like, that was the only thing, is that, like, it still had those anime moments for me. But other than that, yeah, I didn't really have any issues with the show.
Yeah.
And see, it was an easy watch, 12 episodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it does go by quick.
Yeah, very fun, and I enjoyed it for the most part. Yeah,
The live action movies are typically, they're a little bit different from the animes. That's always how it goes. But it is good. This was, I think, the main actor they had in this show. The live action movie was very good. He was extremely. He seemed like he was more the embodiment of the Akira character from that show in this than most other live action adaptations I've seen. So he did a great job. The guy playing Kenichiro was, Kenichiro was supposed to be like this, like, buff, handsome, supermodel-esque kind of guy. And this guy was not. No, I'm not, you know, no offense to him. But he didn't fit the character. And I've seen that a lot in anime when the live action adaptations, like characters, like, really don't fit. It's like they weren't even trying they couldn't find someone that wanted to do the role or something. I don't know what, but it is still a good movie though. It's good. It sticks pretty close to the anime,
nice.
I would say, but. It was, I think overall though, it's a good show. So you have any, what do you want to give it overall? Are you ready to, do you have any other negatives?
No, nothing else to say, man. I really had a lot of fun with this show. And so far this is maybe not, I mean, cause Jujutsu Kaisen was pretty great, but like, this isn't like, it's hard for me to say if this is the best anime I've seen since we started covering anime, but, I did enjoy it the most and it did connect with me a lot more.
Right. That's always the thing. It's going to be what resonates with anybody. So.
I had a lot of fun with it. So I think with that, I'll probably, since I gave Jujutsu Kaisen a 90, maybe this one's a 92 for me.
Oh, okay.
Just because of how I felt about it.
Yeah.
Like, about the characters and how much it connected with me. So I'm going to give it a 92 for the first season. As far as why, definitely drop what you're doing and watch it, because I think a lot of people can get a lot out of it. This is gonna be something that, like, even if you're not an anime fan,
right,
or a zombie fan or whatever fan, this, you can connect to this. If you're a regular person that's had a job that you hated, like most of us in this world have had, you'll connect to it.
Yeah, and again, it is something. It's an easy watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to watch. It talks about something that most adults will be able to relate to, you know, at some point in time. If you're a younger person, it's just kind of fun to watch. You know what I mean? Oh, if I was in the zombie apocalypse, I'd be grabbing this and taking this. That's typically what you think of. As an older person, and you see this person that had this job that sucked and blah, blah, blah. It's great. It's great storytelling that again, that everybody of a certain age can relate to, so that it makes it good for that reason. So there's always the lesson of, you know, necessarily, like, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today kind of thing. Don't push your happiness and joy down the road. Don't burden yourself currently with something that is you know, destroying your soul when you can be doing something else that you enjoy. You know, I think we've said that on the show a few times before too. Yeah. If you're doing exactly the thing you want to do, just to be in the orbit of that thing you enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, you can find fulfillment in that.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, I would say drop what you're doing and watch this too. As far as the score, I might give it like maybe like an 89, 90 kind of thing, somewhere around there. Like I said, I feel like the best part of the series was like in episode like one.
Mm.
Like that said it all right there. Just like the fact that this guy was so happy that you know, like I said, the world ends and his happy thought is like, I don't have to go to work. You know what I mean? And again, it's not so much that, sure, he had a terrible, terrible job, but how many of you out there have a job that's not necessarily like a terrible, terrible job, but if he didn't have to go anymore, would you go? Like, would you be like, if I don't have to go to work anymore, of course you're going to walk away from it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Most people aren't in that situation where I love what I'm doing, so I'm going to stick with it kind of thing. You know, hell or high water. So it's a great lesson. And, you know, there's some campy silliness in there along the way. But, I think the first episode is just like, it's gold, man. Yeah. It's just in your face how great it is. Yeah.
Immediately establishes what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, you get it. So
yeah,
most definitely. Cool. Well, is that gonna be it for something?
I think so.
Check it out. Let us know what you guys think. And
Check it out though. Check it out.
Most definitely. Let's get into what are we doing this week. What are we into this week? Mm-hmm. I just gotta say real quick. I wanted to bring it up to you. My dad has been watching The Community.
Oh, watching Community?
Yeah, he's been binging it quite a bit, yeah.
Love it.
He had gone up to the desert with my mom. They have a new RV, so they went to go test the RV out. They wanted to test track.
Zombie apocalypse.
Give it a
trial
run. Yeah, right? It's a nice RV, too, and they took it out to, like, Palm Desert or something like out there. And he said, like, you know, when there's downtime, he just was looking for something to watch. He started watching that Community.
Yeah, it's gold.
And I had walked in the other day from work, and I heard, it was, like, I forgot what episode it was, but he's, like, on an episode, like, man, 18 or 9. Oh, the episode where when Jeff is choosing between Britta and the professor, the one who both like him, basically. And I was watching I heard it and I was like, wait a minute, I know this and I want to go watch it. And I was like, you watching Community? He's like yeah, I just started watching it. It's pretty funny. And then I was like yeah, nice, I know nice, it is. Yeah, nice. So we and him talked a lot about it. And then then I came home from work the next day and he was like, let me tell you, I just couldn't get that song out of my head. The Britta is a B, a GDB, or the song. Cause like,
oh, my. I remember. I got to watch it.
Oh, yeah, because she breaks up with that guy, Vaughn. He's like the hippie guy.
Yeah.
The guy with the little nipples.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, somebody has nipples, right? Nipples,
I guess he wrote that poem for her, and then Jeff saw it, and everybody ended up seeing it, and so he got mad and broke up with her. And he has a band, so him and then Pierce joins the band, and they write a song about Britta. And my dad said he was like, oh yeah, I was you know, doing some caulking work and I just couldn't stop singing that song in my head. And I was
nice.
Like,
yeah, that's cool.
That was one of the shows I did not think that he would enjoy.
Yeah, huh?
But yeah, he seems to be enjoying it. So I'm like,
that's awesome. That
is
so cool.
Yeah, that's generational to me, man. That's crazy. Yeah, my dad's way older than I am. And for us to both like that show so far, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. It's hard to peg people, man.
Yeah, right. That
even
was
family.
That was a surprise because we don't have the same sense of humor either. So, yeah. But yeah, that was he seemed to enjoy it. So
really kind of speaks to how good the show is. You know what I mean? How if a show is smart, clever, done well, has he seen Arrested Development?
Not yet. That one might be one of them. Yeah,
I bet he liked that too.
That Community, he might like that too. Yeah.
Because those are both they're smarter shows.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And they're both doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're
very, very,
very clever
smart.
Shows.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. But
that's cool. I love it.
Oh, man. I'm watching Ship It In, obviously, still.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started watching a couple episodes of Shoot.
Never mind. Shoot?
Yeah. I guess nothing. No, I was watching something, but yeah, Ship It In, I guess, is all I've been watching.
All right. Let me tell you what I've been watching. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll ring a bell. I don't know how I started watching it. Well, I like Zorro.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a Zorro on, I think it's on Amazon. It's on Prime, but it's based on, I think it's a Spanish show.
Yeah.
So it's translated, you know, it's dubbed or whatever. There might be a subbed version of it. I just happened to click on it, and it's different. Mm-hmm. It's different from the they've taken a lot of liberties with this show.
Oh, okay.
But it's actually but it's not too bad though. I'm still entertained with it. I think I've only gotten up to like maybe episode four or five. But yeah, I don't know why I just started, I just clicked on it and said, let me watch like the first few minutes of the first episode.
Yeah.
Kind of see what's going on. And like I said, it's very different. And then I end up watching for like, you know, 4 or 5 hours or something. Nice. So yeah, so not too bad. Solo Leveling is on Crunchyroll.
Oh yeah, you watching that? Or?
I am watching that. I'm gonna watch it as soon as we're done here. yeah. I'm actually watching. I'm trying to think. Am I watching that before I watch One Piece?
Oh,
so that's that lets you know how serious.
Wow, you are by the show. Wow.
Yeah. So okay. Take that into account.
Yeah, interesting.
We're serious about One Piece. You've been looking around.
Yeah, if you're looking at our, because you're watching our show right now. This looks great.
You crazies.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think, yeah, that's about it for the most part. Gotcha. Yeah, just watching some other stuff here and there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, the show that I started watching.
Yes.
I've already seen it a bunch of times.
I knew you remember. Yeah.
But it was Everybody Hates Chris.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it just kind of popped in my head. Because I watched that Chappelle.
Yeah, the Dreamer
and
thing.
And there's that
one
part where he's talking about Chris Rock getting slapped, you know? And then at the very end of that, it was big. He just says, "Everybody hates Chris." And he sings that song that they always sing at the end of the episode. And I was I don't watch that show again. It's been years.
Right on.
Started watching it. It's pretty funny. It's a pretty funny show. Yeah. I think it's hilarious. Cool. Have you seen it at all? Or?
I have not, actually.
Oh, no. It's very
I think I've seen like bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah. No, it's very funny, man. It's very funny. It's a great cast. Terry Crews is awesome. And it's a really good show.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
I don't think I finished it. I may have gotten like one or two seasons in at one point and then never finished it. But yeah, it's pretty good. It's a good show. It's pretty funny.
Nice. Okay. So, yeah.
Join that.
Check that out.
Yeah. I always have something in the background. And that was like one of those. So I was like, this is a good one to have.
I think for whatever reason, like the name threw me off in all honesty. Like fact that it was called Everybody Hates Chris, right when Everybody Loves Raymond was out, I thought, why are you kind of like biting off of that or copying that?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that wasn't, I'm assuming that wasn't the point or.
Maybe it was,
maybe like he, I'm sure he wasn't doing anything to copy like that show.
Yeah.
But that title, the fact, I honestly think, in my opinion, like sometimes titles are, that's going to be something that'll make somebody say in the first place that they want to watch it or not. And the only reason why I say that is because there was another show, and I can't think of her name right now, Karen Gilliam?
Yeah.
That she played Nova. No, she didn't play Nova. She played Nebula.
Nebula,
In the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. So if anybody's like seen her like outside of makeup, which is crazy, like she's like this redhead, Scottish. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's great. She was in Doctor Who. That's where I first, you know, saw her.
Yeah.
But she was in a TV show called Selfie that came out in America.
Oh, with John Cho, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was only, I think they only did one season, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But when it came out, like, I think because it was her, I watched that first episode.
Yeah, same.
Hilarious.
Oh, okay.
I thought the whole show was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was written well. The comedy was, it was very, very funny in my opinion. But again, the show was called Selfie.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, there was a lot of negative thinking about selfies and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think how long ago it was. Like now people doing selfies, like you don't care. But at that point in time, it felt like one of these, you know, millennial preppy, Kardashian things that I'm not going to be a part of kind of thing.
I see, yeah.
So I feel like if anybody would have watched the show, they might have liked it. But that I feel like
maybe.
The title might have thrown people off. Like I'm not into that kind of, you know, stupid new fad.
Social media.
So,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm not going to bother watching it. That's you know.
I see.
My own observation.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, check out the show. Everybody Hates Chris. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. And check out Selfie. I don't know if you can find it anywhere. So.
It was on Netflix for a while. I think it was.
Was it?
For a long. That's where I saw the first episode.
Really?
That was years ago.
Huh.
So yeah.
But yeah. Anywho.
Anyway, I guess that's it, huh?
That's it. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. We did it. We made it through the episode. Right. Yeah. And good so job, did you. Us. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Good job. But yeah, watch the show though. It is. Yeah, it's gonna resonate with you 100%. You're gonna be like, you're gonna be watching scenes in it, and you're gonna like, man, I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the cool thing about it. You're gonna have so many like, man, I get it
moments. Yeah,
moments in this show. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so I guess that's what we did then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Next week, our schedule says we're covering Undead Unluck, which is another anime series that came out recently.
Schedule says,
but you know, the schedule doesn't control me. I control the schedule.
There you go. There you go. So I'm 100. Break those chains.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, we might be covering Undead Unluck, but. We have a couple of things on this, like in the stratosphere of things to cover. Right, so, right. Yeah, but tentatively, that's what we're covering next week.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, I guess we did it, huh? We're done.
We did it.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if you guys noticed, but we have our own personal pops on the
right
as our centerpiece. We didn't talk about that.
Kind of sticks with the theme.
Yeah, because I feel like a zombie, and that's me there. I'm trying to break free with the things that I love.
I'm a superhero.
And you are Mark Geiger.
Yeah.
Or whatever your superhero name was.
We've all been there. We've all been in that moment of having the job where I'm in my heart and soul, I've always known I've needed to be over here.
Yeah.
But work, society, blah, 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 told me I need to be over here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, the show delves right into that.
Most definitely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Man, I posted on my social media about going to Kevin Smith the other day.
Nice.
And the last thing he said before he signed off was, if there is any dream that's been inside you for your whole life that you haven't pursued yet, and he tapped on his wrist on his watch and he was like, time's ticking. Like, go do it. Take your first step this year. No excuses. He's like, because I am living proof that an idiot can make all of his dreams come true. So go out there and go do it yourself. So if I can leave anything at the end of the day, that's what I learned this week. And I want to go make sure that happens. So,
nice.
Yeah. So make sure you guys do it as well.
Please.
Don't
please.
Waste your time doing something that you hate.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth it.
It's real, man. Yeah. It's not.
And you don't have a lot of time. I mean, not saying that you're dying tomorrow, but you know.
Right. Time's moving on. And it sneaks up on you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like this one episode, 3 years went by for this guy. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's time is a thief.
Exactly. So thieve it back. I don't know. Steal your time back and do what you want to do. You know
do
what I mean?
Do what you want to do.
Right. So anyway, that's it from Geek Off the Street.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in as always.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. My name is Trent.
And my name is Mark.
And this has been
Geek Off the Street.
Yes, we did. You gonna try, I guess?
Let's do an intro.
Yeah,
that's my take.
That's a good take.
Every once in a while.
I fall this day.
You have been listening to the Geek Off the Street official podcast hosted by Trent Tucker and Mark Pope. It is produced by Struggling Dreamer Studios and Mark Pope, executive produced by Self Guard Training, and music written and produced by Eric Tucker.
Good. Man, I got sleepy all of a sudden.
Want a slap?
Yeah. I might do it.
I'll do it during the show.
Yeah.
It's out of nowhere.
Nothing will ever compare to that man. At one time, I don't know who brought him, but those canned vodka, like vodka flavored drinks, we drank from RJ's house before recording the show, and I got just fucking sleepy, and I couldn't keep my eyes open. I kept falling asleep, and I literally was like falling asleep, and you had to like smack the table one time.
Oh, you smack
the table,
really?
And you're like, well, and I was like, dude, recording a show and I'm falling asleep. This is not good.